Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Hatred. Hatred, remember, what is it? It's an intense hostility that one feels toward someone else. And in 1 John 3:15, it says, if you have hatred in your heart, eternal life does not abide in you. And he also equates it as murder. So if we have hatred in our heart, that means it has the power to keep you out of heaven. And remember, we talked about last week that we are responsible for what goes on inside of us, not what happens to us out here. Remember, Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble and cause many to be defiled. You see, that's what happens. Hatred turns into bitterness, and it causes many to be defiled. The word defiled means unholy. And in that verse just before it, it says, without holiness, no one sees the Lord. So when you have hatred in your heart and you're always falling short of extending the grace of God to that to people who are coming at you or you think this come, then you know what? You have the ability to keep them out of heaven because you've allowed hatred. Now remember, that's why it says, looking diligently. That phrase is the word episkopos, and that is the word bishop. And that means overseer or overlooker, one who's looking over. In other words, a bishop oversees a group of people or a group of churches, and he's responsible to guide, direct, and protect those people who have been entrusted under his care. So what God is saying in that verse is that you are the overseer and the bishop of your soul and your heart. You're responsible for what's going on inside of you. Some people say, well, you know, I'm the way I am because my parents never did this for me. No, that's an excuse. You see, that was what's done to you. You're responsible for what's going on in you, right? Well, you don't know, my dad dropped me off and my parents were never around when I was a kid. I don't even know my parents. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what dysfunction you were raised up in, you cannot use that as an excuse to not go forward and not become what God created you to be. See, it removes the victim mentality, this area of looking diligently, lest I fall short of the grace of God. See, when you fall short of the grace of God, you're not giving them grace that God has given you. God gives grace to everyone, and that's what we have to understand, and that's the way we're to be, no matter what they've done or what they've said. We take responsibility for what's going on inside of us. And when you understand that, then you know what? You're going to be a much more happier person, much more fulfilled. Because what's done to you is no longer the issue. Now, I've got someone here who's going to give a testimony. This is a very good example of what I talked about last week. This is Susan Kleiner. She's been coming here about 5 years, and God has really done a work in her heart. And I'm just really blessed by what she's going to share with you. So listen.
I'm Sue. You know, Fred asked me to get up here today because I was talking to him about something that's happened in the past year. My family's been through emotional stress this year. 10 months ago, I got a phone call that my ex violated my kids when they were younger and emotionally put my son through some stuff. It made me real angry. And I was full of hate. I've been full of anger and hate for the last several months. And my kids wouldn't come to me, especially my daughter, because she was afraid of what I would do to him because I was using drugs and alcohol at the time. But 10 months ago, I found out that what he'd done And he's in jail today. And 10 months ago, I wanted to go and blow that jail up and do some angry things to him. I went through months with anger and hatred in my heart real bad and took it out on my husband and my son and people around me. And I lost a friend through the process of it. And I got with a Christian counselor and a person in this church, and I got better. I got a letter a month ago from him asking for forgiveness, and I called up this lady from the church and was crying and asked her what I should do. And she said, pray about it. And, you know, being the person I was like, oh, yeah, right, pray for this idiot. Pray that the jail blew up, you know, or something like that would happen. But, you know, I prayed about it hard. And God talked to me and asked me that I should forgive him. And Pastor Fred's been preaching him for forgiveness. And I cried all night, and I prayed all night and asked God what I should do, and he said I should forgive him. So on the way to jail, I was mad, and I was ready to go in there and tell him what I thought of him. And when by the time I got up in the elevator and got up to see him, I was crying, and I told him I forgave him. And all the anger and hate went away. And I told him, I hope he gets the help he needs, you know, and today I have no anger for that man. And all the hate and anger is gone. So if you have any hate in your life for anybody, you know, get rid of it. Because if you want the kingdom of God, you need to get rid of the anger and the hate in your life, because it ain't worth it.
What's important is she found this out 10 months ago, and she was, you know, growing as a Christian, a believer in church, doing what's right, and she finds this out, what happened back years and years ago when her kids were little, and it just derailed her. The idea is, with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, she was able to be healed and go and see Him in a whole different light and love Him. And she told me, when she told me, she said, I really had compassion for Him. And I thought, man, that's a switch. That's nothing but the Holy Spirit, right? So she's taking responsibility for what's going on in her. Susan, you're awesome. You see this? And you know what? And she'll be free to be herself and touch many other people because of it. But when that gets on you and you hold grudge and you want to, you see that? That stops the power of God from flowing through you. It can't flow through you. All right. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident or manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, the next word after hatred of the manifestations of the flesh is contentions. I hooked it up with strife, because strife and this contentions are similar. So the first word is contention, and this word contention, or variance, some of you have the old King James and it uses the word variance. So now look what it means. It's the Greek word eris, E-R-I-S. This word was used in a political context to describe political parties that had different platforms and agendas. Now, it means a verbal struggling, a dispute, controversy, a striving to win in competition or rivalry, an assertion put forward in argument. It means discord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 that God hates discord. You and I are to hate discord. Just like God hates it, we're to hate it. We talked about not having hatred. The hatred that we're not to have is towards people, ever. We hate evil, and we hate the contentions or strife that comes through the people, but we love the people, we pray for the people. God hates discord. And discord is division and separation, by speaking and whispering. You know, the word whisper in the Greek means gossip. So anytime somebody's whispering, you know what? That's a form of gossip. And it sows discord. So discord is something God hates. Now look at this. In a democratic system, we are not in a democratic system. We are in a theocracy. Theo means God. Krosi means ruled. God ruled. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's what the body of Christ is. It's a theocracy. We're gathered together to establish his kingdom, to carry out the government of God. That's why we come together. And that's the idea. We are a theocracy. God ruled. We want God's word to have the highest authority. That's it. A theocracy. We're not a democracy. A democracy, demo means man. Man ruled. Okay? In a democracy, a system of people tend to align themselves politically with people of like opinions. Once they get together and congregate and discuss the issues and concur or agree about their political views, they then proceed to build platforms from which they can promote their own agenda. Once the agenda is decided upon and the competition has begun, the fighting can get fierce. Political races can become ugly and often vituperative. That means to be very harsh and very negative with your words. False representations are sometimes publicized by opponents who wish to discredit their contenders. Lies are often told and repeated as facts. As unfortunate as this behavior is for people who are running for public office, it has been this way since ancient Greek and Roman times, and it will continue because this is a manifestation of the flesh. The flesh wants its way. The flesh will promote itself. The flesh never wants to give up. The flesh never backs down. It will get what it wants when it wants it, and it will do anything to keep it moving. That's the mentality we get when we get into contentions and strife, because we're on an agenda and we're looking for people to agree with us and get behind us and promote our ideas. You know, that's something you can feel, strife and contention in the air when people are arguing. And then if they stop and you walk in, you can still feel it going on in there, can't you? That's because there's spiritual things hanging around the room to divide and to separate and to ruin what you're about. When Paul writes to us, he is using this word eros to depict how flesh manifests and erupts to divide families, destroy relationships, businesses, churches, and pull apart people who once stood side by side in unity. Because they have been offended, now, see, that's what happens. People get hurt. You cannot afford to get hurt. That's where strife begins, from getting hurt. You got to guard your heart and not let yourself get hurt and wounded. You're responsible, right? Not for what happens to you, but for what's going on inside of you. When people get hurt and offended, now they're drawn like a magnet to other people who've been hurt and offended. And then they find the people, oh, yeah, they've used me too. You know, they treat me the same way. You know, I understand why you feel the way you do. And then it just begins to pick up and starts to snowball. And now they're connecting. And now they get on an agenda. You see, that's what they're all about. I know what's going on. They're all like that. That's the way they are. And then they begin this agenda. You see? And what happens? It starts to divide. Once they discuss their feelings and realize they have similar stories or opinions, it isn't long before they start thinking they are right and everyone else is wrong. That's when they begin the process of building their own platform from which they can divide and promote their own agenda. This word eros, E-R-I-S, depicts a party spirit that is so consumed with its own selfishness and self-interest and selfish ambitions that it would rather split and divide than to admit it is wrong or give an inch to an opponent. It doesn't ever want to admit it's wrong. It's right, and it's, I'll argue this till the day we die. You know, that kind of attitude, you better walk away from somebody like that. You don't want to connect with people like, always wanting to argue with you. That's a spirit. You got to watch who you associate with. And you got somebody like that all the time, they're going to bring some stuff up in your life that you don't want in there. This is exactly why church splits occur, families divide, and businesses separate. Most of the issues that bring such division, remember, division, two, D-I. D-I means two visions. In other words, there was once one vision, but now there's two, mine and what you're, but I'm going with mine, and that divides. You see that? And most of them, those issues that divide and separate aren't even worth talking about. It's just the flesh didn't want to give in and yield to the other person. The flesh simply hates to surrender or compromise or to admit it's wrong or let someone else be right. And it will argue and argue and argue. Now listen to me. This is a scenario. In a marriage, you have a husband and wife. They get married, they go to church, and you got one of them, let's just say the man is the spiritual head. Okay? Hey, you know, I'm nothing against women, I just want you to listen. So, the man is the spiritual head. He's supposed to be, right? So, he's going to church, and he feels good about what he's doing and raising his family, and his wife, she's okay with it. She wasn't raised that way, it starts to get a little difficult to live this way. And so she starts looking at his little shortcomings. And his not picking up his socks. And he's not doing this and he's not doing that. So then she goes and she tells her mother what he's not doing. And all his faults. And he's not putting the lid back on the toothpaste. And, you know, he doesn't want to do this and that. And come on now, listen to me. So she's listening. And now they start. And what they're doing is they're building an agenda. They're starting to campaign. And eventually, as she keeps going to her, that's what's going to happen. Because she, that the daughter, is still answering to mama. And then they're building an agenda to get out of it. And you know, here's what happens. She should have been praying for him. She should have, here's what it says, love bears all things. Remember, love covers as a roof. Remember, covers as a roof. In other words, if I'm loving my spouse, I'm going to cover them while they're going through. Cover as a roof is different seasons in life. Those roofs cover you as you go through a negative season in your life. Because we're all got seasons, right? That's what roofs are for. They're for like the snow and the rain and the cold and the wind to protect you from that. That's what love does from your spouse. You should be protecting them while they're going through a negative time. Because we're all going to go through negative times. You know what? That's what love does. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That's what we're to do with each other in church, in our businesses, at work, wherever we go. We're to cover people because everybody's going through a difficult time. Am I making sense? And you're going to go through difficult times, but love covers that, see, and helps them get to where they're supposed to be, not go and snicker and talk negative to someone else and begin to build a case about them and then divide and conquer. Am I making sense? This is a reality, isn't it? This is really what happens. And that's why we got to watch that, because God wants you to be a vehicle of redemption, not division and separation, right? He wants you to help be the redeemer, a vehicle of redeeming and reconciling, bringing things together, not tearing them apart and separating, dividing them. That's a reality. Now, we're going to look at this word, strife, very closely related. It's this word, Greek word, eritha, E-R-I-T-H-E-I-A. This word, eritha, remember the word for contentions is E-R-I-S, eris. It's derived from this word. So that's why I brought them together. strife, or your translation might say selfish interests or selfish ambitions, okay? So now, that's strife. Strife describes a self-seeking ambition that is more concerned about itself and the fulfillment of its own wants and desires and pleasure than it is in meeting the needs of others. When strife is working in someone's life, it means that taking care of himself and him or herself and getting what he or she wants is the person's principal and primary concern. In Proverbs 10:12, it says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins." In Proverbs 13:10, it says, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." In fact, they are so bent on getting what they want, but they are willing to do anything and say anything and sacrifice any standards or rules or relationship to achieve their agenda and their goal. That's strife. It is a selfish, self-focused attitude that is engrossed with its own desires and ambition. It is so self-consumed that it is blinded to the desires and ambitions of other people. It is simply the nature of the flesh to be self-consumed. Don't let this happen to you. Guard yourself from this happening to you, because this will make you miserable, and this is going to push people away. You will not bring anybody into the kingdom of God with this attitude in your heart. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, that's when you become effective. Regardless of what people have done to you or say about you, see, you are to continue to yield to the Holy Spirit, just like Susan did. She's yielding to the Holy Spirit. She didn't feel like it, want to, or she still felt like blowing up the jail, the prison, right? But it was in her heart, she was yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Go with me real quick to James chapter 3, verse 16. "For where envy and self-seeking or strife exists, there's confusion and every evil thing are there." So when you're confused, there's some selfishness going on. Because God is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. And that's what we have to understand. Now look at this. It says, "For where there is envy and selfish and self-seeking or strife, where it exists, there's confusion and every evil thing are there." Evil spirits lurk around strife and this type of an atmosphere, when there's constant bickering and arguing going on. Or even within yourself. See, you can argue and bicker inside. You can become judgmental. You're always judging somebody and thinking negative about somebody and fault-finding them. And oh, it's always going on inside of you. You just, that stuff is lurking around you. And people feel that. Verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." But the wisdom, see, the wisdom which is from above, that's God's wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask God. Go to God and get the wisdom you need in a situation when you're confused and you don't know which way to turn. Go to God and he'll give it to you. He'll give you the wisdom you need. And then he says, because it's first pure. In other words, he wants your motives to be pure. He wants your motives to be pure. Now look at this. Then peaceable. You see, when you get God's wisdom on it, it's going to bring peace. It's going to bring peace, not war, strife, and contentions. It's going to bring peace. Now look at this. Peaceable. And then gentle. Remember the word gentle? In the Greek, it means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. You see, when you get God's wisdom, you're not going to be flying off the handle and getting strifeful and snapping back at people that are being strifeful and contentious towards you. Now, willing to yield. Willing to yield. You see, that's the problem. The flesh doesn't want to yield. The flesh never wants to yield. It wants its way now. It wants its way yesterday. And that's what it's going to fight for. It's not willing to yield. You see, when you're not willing to yield, you risk hurting yourself and other people. It's like going on the freeway and the traffic's just going 80, 75 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, just flying, and you just climb on in there. You know, you're going to hurt, you're going to end up hurting yourself and risk hurting many others. But if you just say, hey, I'm taking my time, no matter how bad the traffic is, no matter what storms are going on out there, I'm just going to cruise on in here, and I'm going to fit right in, and we're going to make it to our destiny. You see? But if you're not willing to yield, there's a big risk that you're not going to make it to your destiny. So that's what he's saying. Now watch this. Oh, this is the bomb. Full of mercy. Not grace, mercy. We're to have grace and extend grace. But you see, this is the person that's trying to bring strife in your life. You're to have be full of mercy towards them. See? Towards them. What's grace? Grace is unmerited favor. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. That's what grace is, unmerited favor. What's mercy? Mercy is not giving you what you do deserve. With this person that's creating strife and all this contention in my life, I'm going to give him mercy. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to keep encouraging him. I'm going to be full of mercy towards that person. Oh, I'm here to tell you, that right there will get you to where God is calling you to. Come on, are you getting this? Full. How much? Full of mercy. Why? Because look here. He says, well, once you were not a people of God, but now you have become a people of God. And where once you did not obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. He has done nothing but poured mercy out on you and continues to pour mercy out on you. And that's what he wants you to do with other people. Mercy. How many times do we fall short of extending mercy to our spouse, to somebody at work, to somebody in the church, to somebody, you know, wherever, to somebody on the freeway? You know what? When you fall short of mercy, you know where you go? You judge. You start to criticize. Start to fault find in your mind, in your thought life. You know who that's affecting? You. That's affecting you more than anything. It's hurting you. That's why we got to understand this. This is healthy. This will make you healthy. Now look at this. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Remember, hypocrisy means what? False face or stage play actor. In other words, you're not playing games. You are not being false and acting about this. You are real in giving your mercy and being real towards this person. Now look at this. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown where? In peace, by those who make peace. What that is saying is, when you get that wisdom, now your righteousness comes from your relationship with God, and what it does is it produces peace. See, there's divine order. Righteousness first, then comes peace. In Romans 14, 17, it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's divine order there. You see that? So that's what we do. We want to treat people out of our relationship with God. And as we do that, it's always going to promote peace. If it's not promoting peace, then you know there's somewhere you need to get back in right relationship with God. All right. Now, look again in chapter 4. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires and for your pleasure that war in your members? See, it's the fighting and the warring going on inside of you. That's where we're to be the bishop, remember? That's where we're to be in control over what's going on inside of us. And you will be when you're in touch with him.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.